From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the first program of 2010. And here to Let the Bible Speak today is the Reverend Philip Gardner.
Our reading today is taken from Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign which shall not be cut off. We will end our reading there, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his own word. In Isaiah 54 in the verse 17 we read, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No success will be granted to those who seek to frustrate the plans of God for his people. No matter what weapon man may take against the Lord, he will fail. In great contrast, in Isaiah 55 and the verse 11, it says, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So while the weapons of the world will not prosper, in great contrast, the weapon of God will prosper. It will have good success. That is the word of God. Those words are true in a very general sense. We believe that the Lord's word always prospers, that it never comes back to him empty, that it accomplishes its own end. While the principles of this verse are true generally speaking, they do have a very specific reference here to the Babylonian captivity. The nation of Judah had been carried down into Babylon, and the people had been held captive there. But here the Lord affirmed that his word in relation to the captivity would not return void. He had promised that the captivity would one day come to an end, and that word then, that promise, was going to be fulfilled in its entirety. If we consider the words of the verse 12 in that light, Ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. God's people would leave Babylon in great joy. They would be glad to leave the sackcloth and the ashes behind them, and return to their own beloved land. They would be led forth with peace. So while they had known times of great suffering, now came that time of peace. During the Babylonian captivity, the people had hung their harps in the willow trees. They did not delight in singing the Lord's songs in a heathen land. Now they had taken their harps again. They sang as they journeyed. As they did so, it was as if all creation was joining in their singing. We come then to the words of the verse 13, the words of our text. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. During those years in exile, God's people had seen and felt much of the thorn and the briar. But now they were going to experience the fir, or the cypress tree, and the myrtle tree. The new year brings most people some sense of optimism. Many view the new year as the opportunity for a fresh start. Someone has said the best thing about the new year is the word new. This particular verse 13 brings out that idea of something new, a monumental change. Many of the picturesque portions of Isaiah have at least a threefold relevance. There is a historical relevance. I've already shown you that these words relate to the captivity. There is then a prophetic relevance. So these words relate to the new earth. When the Lord returns and the earth is renewed, there will be no longer the briar and the thorn. There will be a perfect earth. But there is then a gospel relevance. And it is in this way that I want to view the words today. The gospel is a transforming message. The sinner can go out of the place of condemnation. He can leave it behind with joy and go out in peace. Instead of being as the briar and the thorn, he will be as the cypress and the myrtle tree. And so we want to look today at the great change in God's redeemed people. I want to see first of all that there is a change of nature. You think of a thorn bush, and then in contrast a large cypress tree. Think of a briar, and then think in contrast of a myrtle. They are extremely different plants. The nature of those plants is entirely different. You could do a lot of clipping of a thorn bush. You could feed it all types of fertilizer, but you wouldn't be able to turn it into a cypress tree, because those plants have entirely different natures. This then is the great change within the one who comes to Christ. He is given a new nature. Unless the sinner has been made a partaker of a new nature, the divine nature, he is not yet saved. If you're listening today and you're still without the Lord, then you are like the thorn and the briar. Can you bring about this necessary change in your nature? Not at all. But you are to come to the one who can. In verse 1 of this chapter it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." 3 times over in that verse the sinner is invited to come. In the verse 6 it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And so God's demand of the sinner is this. The sinner is to come. The sinner is to seek the Lord and to call upon him. And if he does so, there will be this great change. The change in view here is a change of heart. For in the verse 13, it says, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." The reference to come up is evidently speaking of the plant coming up out of the soil. For this to happen, there must have been a change in the soil. If you had a piece of waste land, you could dig out the briars and thorns and then leave the land lying again. Would it grow a cypress tree of itself? Certainly not. The thorns and the briars would reappear. So then there must have been a working of the soil, a planting of a new seed, in order for there to be the growing of the cypress and the myrtle tree. There is this change within the heart. It is possible for the sinner to turn over a new leaf, but still retain the old nature. It is possible for someone to bring about a great transformation in their lifestyle, but still there has not been a change of nature. But for a man who is born again, he is a new nature altogether. That is what the new birth is all about. One is to notice that there's not only a change of nature, but there is a change of appearance. The nature of a thorn tree and a cypress is not only different, but there is an obvious external difference. The thorn bush is prickly, doesn't grow very tall in comparison with other trees. It's not a very attractive plant, but the cypress is a very beautiful plant, reaching into the heavenlies. Think of the briar that spreads out along the ground, using other trees perhaps to support it. But again, there's no beauty in a briar. How different from the myrtle, that beautiful tree with such fragrant leaves. The implication of all this is obvious. If someone becomes a Christian, there is not only to be a change on the inside, but on account of the inward change, there ought to be a great change on the outside as well. And that change must be obvious. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation, speaking of how he is a partaker of the divine nature. It says then, "Old things are passed away. Behold, All things are become new. The word behold there emphasizes that as someone looks on, that they ought to be able to see the change. What has happened on the inside is mirrored on the outside. If we take the figure of the cypress and the myrtle tree, how do these symbolize the Christian? The Christian is to be like the cypress, reaching into the heavenlies. Rather than being a plant that is focused on the earth only, we are to be a heavenward people. Like the myrtle, we are to be issuing a fragrance. In Philippians 4 verse 18, Paul said, I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell. As the believer lives before men, he is to be issuing, as it were, the sweet fragrance of Christ. So there is here a change of nature. There is a change of appearance. I want to say finally there is a change of destiny. For there is a great distinction between the value of these different plants. While the thorn and the briar don't have great value, the myrtle and the cypress certainly do. The greatest value of the thorn is that it would be cut down and cast into the fire. So as we think of the sinner, he is like the briar and the thorn, about to be cut down. The thorns and the briar speak of condemnation, that is the position of the unsaved, about to be cast into the lake of fire. In Hebrews 6 verse 8, it says, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The sinner therefore needs a great change of destiny. That can only come about if there is this heart change. Perhaps as you listen, you're still not saved. On your way to a lost eternity, if your heart has changed, you will no longer be in the place of condemnation, but rather brought into the place of safety. And that takes place on account of the work of the cross. You think of the Saviour. In Ezekiel 34 verse 29, he is spoken of as the plant of renown. Yet that one that was the plant of renown was brought to the cross. Remember, the crown of thorns was brought down on his lovely brow. He stood in the sinner's place. The beautiful plant came to be regarded as a briar and a thorn, so that he might bear the penalty for the sinner. If you will come to him today, the Lord will remove the condemnation from you and make you as the cypress and the myrtle. Today then, would you not come to him and find peace through his finished work, and in this new year experience the greatest transformation of all? We trust the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.